Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, the 8th of February, 2021, the 26th of Shvat, 5781. Hope you are doing well in your part of the world. Hope you are safe. Hope you are healthy. The NFL football season is officially over. I know a lot of Israelis were up all night, myself included, watching the game. And now it's time to move on to other things. And certainly got to catch up on the sleep, both from last night and just from an entire season of staying up very late on Sunday nights and watching football. But that's not why we're here, folks. We're here to talk about everything going on in Israel, the Middle East, and everything affecting the Jewish people. Top story over the last couple days here, this reported by Yisrael Hayom, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Saturday accused the International Criminal Court at The Hague of anti-Semitism after it ruled that it has jurisdiction to open war crimes investigations against Israel. A three-judge panel at the ICC ruled on Friday that Judea and Samaria and the Gaza Strip and eastern Jerusalem are within its jurisdiction as so-called Palestine, and that it is a state party to the ICC's Rome Statute. The ICC's 2-1 decision has cleared the way for Chief Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, to open a war crimes probe into IDF actions. The ICC has again proved that it is a political body, not a judicial institution, Netanyahu said on Friday, immediately following the decision. The ICC ignores the real war crimes and instead pursues the state of Israel, a state with a strong democratic government that sanctifies the rule of law, and it is not a member of the ICC. So Israel is not a member of the ICC, okay? But yet the ICC thinks that they have some sort of, or perhaps has some sort of jurisdiction over Israel, and at the same time is recognizing an entity which does not exist called Palestine, which has never existed as an independent state in the history of the world. And they're ready to open war crimes investigations against the IDF for the defense of war back in 2014, in which Hamas and other terror groups launched thousands of rockets against Israel. And you can't make this stuff up. They're putting Israel in the same boat as Hamas and the other terror organizations who use their own people as human shields and still do so till this day and fire rockets trying to murder Jewish men, women, and children. The ICC is an absolute joke. I agree with the Prime Minister. This is an anti-Semitic organization that has nothing better to do with its time. It's in bed with haters of Israel, using its platform not because it has any legal, international legal jurisdiction, but because it hates the state of Israel. It ignores true atrocities being carried out all over the world, whether in Iran or North Korea or China or anywhere else. And if this keeps going, if this goes further, then they will launch this formal investigation against Israel, maybe Hamas, maybe some of the terror groups, who knows? But the focus here is on Israel. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, called the ruling a political decision stayed with anti-Semitism. He said it is not a coincidence that both Israel and the U.S. are not members of this deformed body. The U.S. State Department on Friday issued a formal statement objecting to the ICC's decision. Defense Minister Benny Gantz also sent a letter to the Israel Defense Force Chief of Staff, the heads of Israel's security establishment. He said the decision of the judges at The Hague is grave and has no basis in international law. The proceeding is conducted without authority and is unfounded, he wrote. The decision is intended to serve as a tool for Israel's enemy, he said, vowing to shield troops from any repercussions. I mean, if this goes further, you could get to a situation where IDF troops or former soldiers traveling abroad could possibly be arrested when entering a country outside of Israel. Of course, the PA and Hamas, very happy with the ruling. Going further, The International Criminal Court's decision, reported by the J Post, that it has jurisdiction to open probes against Israel is political and hypocritical, Education Minister and former IDF commander Yoav Gallant said Saturday night. It's important because Gallant was commander of the Southern Command during Operation Cast Lead against Hamas in 2009. So he has a little bit of experience about the realities going on in southern Israel, specifically the double war crimes being carried out by Hamas, using their own civilians to fire rockets at Israeli civilians. He said that, ironically, other countries, they send their senior commanders to Israel to study how to avoid unnecessary casualties, yet the ICC wants to put Israel on trial. He said after Cast Lead in 2009, the U.S. and also European and Asian countries sent military representatives to learn how we got to such a low ratio between civilian casualties and terrorists. So Israel is a light unto the nations. Israel avoids civilian casualties at all costs. Civilians die during war. It happens, especially when Hamas fires from highly populated neighborhoods throughout Gaza. There are going to be civilian casualties, but Israel, in my opinion, Israel does even too much to prevent, goes above and beyond to prevent civilian casualties, yet Israel is taken to task. And he points out here, Golan and other conflicts around the world where there is a much worse civilian to terrorist or militant ratio in terms of those who are killed, yet the ICC focusing on Israel. The Jerusalem Post editorial from yesterday said what makes the court's decision ridiculous is that it puts Israel on equal footing with Hamas and Islamic Jihad. These groups intentionally, as I said before, target civilians with rockets. Israel acts to defend itself. Do civilians get killed in war, as I just said? And the answer is yes, unfortunately they do. But when done the way Israel does it, that is not a war crime. Israel does not carry out war crimes, and the ICC is a political body. It is not a judicial body, even though they wear those white wigs over there and dress up in robes. They are not a legitimate international legal body, and this is the proof here. One other commentator here, Professor Avi Bell in Israel Hayom, he said Israel must hit ICC with heavy political pressure. He asks, in light of the situation here, what can Israel do? It must act on all fronts to impair the legitimacy of the International Criminal Court, impede its investigation in any way possible, and use the opportunity to foster international cooperation against the ICC. Impair its legitimacy on all fronts. Among other things, this means Israel must make it illegal for any Israeli individual or organization to cooperate with the court, similar to the same prohibition which exists under U.S. law, which I did not know that. Informal collaboration by the country's jurists with ICC prosecutor must be criminalized. He says Israel should not cooperate at all. Israel also must finance its cooperation with the U.S., which has imposed sanctions on the ICC. Only international political pressure can stave off the looming indictments and drumhead court martials against Israelis. Any attempt to treat the ICC as a legal body increases this illegitimate institution's room to maneuver. It's not a legitimate institution. It should not be treated as such. And anybody who does business with the ICC needs to be not only called out, but it should be made illegal, according to Professor Bell. I agree with him 100%. So the ICC ruling, that has been dominating the news here. This just came in this morning in the Jerusalem Post. At the same time, U.S. President Joe Biden's administration will re-engage with the UN Human Rights Council 3 years after former President Trump withdrew over what his administration called bias against Israel and a lack of reform. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will announce on Monday that the U.S. will return to the Geneva-based council as an observer, a senior State Department official said on Sunday. So here you have another instance of the Biden administration undoing what good and appropriate moves which were undertaken under Trump. And I have a response here from former ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, who posted this on Twitter. David Friedman said the following with grave concern that the reconstituted Obama and foreign policy team will replicate the mistakes of the past. I've chosen to limit my criticism to policy, not people. Well, here's a terrible policy. Rejoining the UNHRC, David Friedman asks, who is leading the UN's Commission on Human Rights? China, which places its undesirables in concentration camps, Russia, that jails its dissidents, and Cuba. Who is the permanent target? Israel. Donald Trump and Nikki Haley got it exactly right by withdrawing. So here we go. We're going back down this road again. It's only a matter of time where we, if they haven't already been, you know, start talking about two-state solutions and Israel making concessions with land. And here you have the U.S. going to re-engage the UN Human Rights Council, which has a standing resolution, resolution number 7, each and every time they meet. Per their bylaws, they must discuss Israel there in item number 7, each and every meeting. Forget about Iran, forget about it. But look who's leading this. Look who's leading this council. What good is it for the U.S. to be there? It was the appropriate move to withdraw, as the Trump administration did. And now here comes the re-engagement. And, of course, the biggest concern is, and right now the Biden administration says it's not re-entering the Iranian nuclear deal as it is. But that is an even bigger concern down the road if, in fact, the U.S. decides to re-engage instead of keeping up the pressure and the sanctions against Iran. But this is just another step in the wrong direction here. Just a few weeks into the administration, just doesn't make sense. Does not make sense. All the progress that we saw thanks to Nikki Haley and the Trump administration there. But that seems to be happening today. The UN rejoining in some form the UNHRC. Israel has officially, I guess, exited the third coronavirus lockdown, partially exited, I guess. The schools are not back in session. The kindergartens are not back in session. I think they're supposed to come up with a decision today. I don't know how the schools are going to get back to business tomorrow, or at least some of them, if they're only making these plans today, these arrangements today. But what has changed? As an Israeli, you can now go more than 1,000 meters away from your house. Also, they've removed restrictions on visiting non-family members in their homes, opening of nature reserves and national parks, return of one-on-one services, beauty parlors and whatnot, hair salons, allowance of takeaway from restaurants, cafe and stores, and nuclear families are allowed to rent out bed and breakfasts, timmers as we call them here. So all of that has changed as of yesterday. Unfortunately, though, some believe that we are nowhere near to being out of the woods, even though we'll talk about how many here. More than 3.4 million Israelis, over one-third of the country's population, have received the first dose of the vaccine, and over 2 million has received the second dose. I'm scheduled for my second dose this week. Nevertheless, the number of daily confirmed cases remains high of the coronavirus. Hospitals continue to be overwhelmed. Under the lockdown, Israel's reproduction rate surpassed 1 and now stands at a high 0.99. This is according to the Military Intelligence Task Force on the coronavirus. So again, thanks to the vaccine campaign, the morbidity among patients over 60 has gone down. But we are still dealing with a high level of confirmed daily cases and hospitals being overwhelmed. That is the reality. There was some positive news here. Originally, I saw it on Ynet, and the J Post reported it yesterday. 29 out of 30 moderate to severe COVID-19 patients who are administered a treatment developed at Tel Aviv's Sourasky Medical Center / Ichilov Hospital as part of this phase one trial, recovered from the disease and were released within 3 to 5 days. The 30th patient also recovered, but it took a little longer. So there's a new treatment out there. I guess it's only in phase one of the trial. It has great success. I mean, Ynet, I think, news said that this could even be considered a cure for the coronavirus. Again, initial stages here, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe this is even more impressive news than the vaccinations and everything there. If we actually have a way to treat people with coronavirus once they have it, maybe it's a parallel set of good news here. People who had the coronavirus in this study were fine within 3 to 5 days. So we'll have to keep our eyes out here for the Ichilov Hospital in Tel Aviv to see how this trial progresses. I mean, maybe this is a game changer. We mentioned Iran before. Iran's supreme leader, reported by the Times of Israel, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said Sunday that the United States must lift all sanctions before Tehran reverses any nuclear production steps. Will the Biden administration cave on this? To be determined. The Trump administration reimposed sanctions on Iran in 2018 after pulling the U.S. out of the international accord aimed at curtailing Tehran's nuclear program. Also on Saturday, the Wall Street Journal at the same time reported that the UN nuclear inspectors found traces of radioactive material at Iranian nuclear sites that could indicate work on nuclear weapons. So the future of the world's at stake here, folks. What will the Biden administration do? Will they keep putting pressure on Iran, or will they cave, and will they get back into a bad nuclear deal, which will pave the path for Iran to eventually obtain a nuclear weapon? Last month, according to this report, Tehran announced it was beginning to enrich uranium up to 20%, far beyond the 3.5, which was permitted under the deal, and a relatively small technical step away from the 90% needed for a nuclear weapon. Iran also said it was beginning research into uranium metal, a material that technically has civilian uses, but is seen as another step likely toward a nuclear bomb. So that's where we are with Iran. It's up to the, well, maybe it's up to the Biden administration. I mean, Israel is not going to sit back, hopefully, and wait for Iran to go nuclear. I don't think that's in Netanyahu's plan. And I don't think that's in the plan of anybody who may or may not become prime minister in our elections here, our Knesset elections at the end of March. It's been the number one most important priority, Iran and its proxies, its terror proxies targeting Israel. And this is a threat. Let's remind everyone, this is a threat not only to Israel, this is a threat to the world if Iran goes nuclear. We shall see. But more disappointing news here. The Jewish press reports that, according to Bloomberg and Reuters, the Biden administration is going to revoke the terrorist designations of the Houthi militias in Yemen. Here's another Iranian arm of terror in Yemen. And the plan is, according to this report, that the Biden administration is going to say that these are not terrorists. So just more and more bad news. And again, as I said, we're only a few weeks into this administration. Talk about wanting to be on the wrong side of history so soon. I guess it's not surprising, but I mean, come on. It is unbelievable what's going on here. The Houthis have launched repeated missiles and drone attacks against Saudi Arabia as part of a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran for the future of the peninsula and the entire region. I mean, this is huge news here. It seems the Biden administration is going to let this Iranian proxy, the Houthis there in Yemen, off the hook. Between that and perhaps reengaging Iran directly and joining the UN Security Council, and who knows what in terms of a two-state solution or trying to force Israel to make concessions, We're headed down the wrong path here, undoing some of the many positive steps taken under the Trump administration. In terms of terror, here's a news brief from JNS. According to the IDF, investigators show that around 3:45 a.m. on, I believe this was Friday morning, an Arab wannabe terrorist from the village of Raz Karkar approached the Ste Ephraim farm, that's in the Binyamin area, in a vehicle at high speed, stopped at the doorstep of the farmhouse, got out of his car, and attempted to break in the front door of the farm, shouting "Allahu Akbar." I wonder what his plan was. Eventually, there was a scuffle with guards, and the terrorist, who had evil intentions, was shot and killed. IDF forces entered the village of the terrorist early on Friday after this incident, early Friday morning, in order to investigate to see what was going on there. But thank God, another case of a failed terror attack. Unfortunately, sometimes these terror attacks work. The last several that I know about, whether it's this one or others in Gush Etzion, thank God, the terrorist was liquidated, was killed before succeeding in causing any major damage to IDF soldiers or Israeli civilians. But the terror threat remains there, even with coronavirus and everything else going on. Those who want to destroy the Jewish state, try to harm us, try to scare us, are still out there. Thank God for the IDF and our security forces and those alert civilians and those who are in the first response teams also who have proven to been ready 24/7 to take on these terror threats. So thank God for that. Thank God this latest event did not lead to any casualties. Several good news items here. The Lake of Galilee, the Kinneret, has gone up again after our latest rainfall, as I saw this morning. At the same time here, reported by Israel 21C, power grids around the world weather all kinds of storms, but in Florida, they're also up against unique threats such as alligators and hurricane damage. So it only makes sense that they are looked after in an equally special way using drones. Florida Power and Light Company, which serves some 10 million people in Sunshine State, employs drones made by an Israeli company called Percepto that automatically carry out security and maintenance missions on power lines and in sensitive areas. So here you have another example of an Israeli company that sends out drones to investigate possible damage because of alligators and weather and hurricanes and all kinds of things. According to the company Percepto, the autonomous drones can work around the clock and in difficult weather conditions to identify power failures and get them fixed quickly. So here you have this autonomous inspection and monitoring solution from the state of Israel. If you're a BDS hater and you're down there in Florida, do not use this product. Do not use these drones because you don't want to be a hypocrite. These drones are getting people back online after major storms. Another example of Israel exporting its technology to do good in the world. Many, many examples. And we find these stories each and every week, folks. We're able to locate these stories each and every week because it happens week in and week out, day in and day out, where Israel is providing its technologies, whether it's medical or farming or whatnot, bio, whatever it is, all over the world. More positive contributions from the Jewish state of Israel. Yet the ICC wants to put Israel on trial. Go figure. Go figure. Crazy world, folks. But we will survive this as well here in Israel. Thanks so much to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, Tabitha Epstein, for everything she does behind the scenes. My name is Josh Haston. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com for Monday, the 8th of February, 2021, the 26th of Shvat, 5781. Please get in touch with me during the week. Let me know what you think of the show. Love the show, hate the show, whatever it is, your comments, your feedback, your opinions. It's Josh at thelandofisrael.com. Again, Josh at thelandofisrael.com on Facebook. I'm getting having problems with my words this morning. Again, I was up all night watching the Super Bowl. I think I slept about 2 hours for about 6 to 8 this morning. So I am a little bit out of it. But don't worry. Come next Monday, I will be well rested now that the football season is over. Again, get in touch with me. Facebook, Twitter at Josh Haston, Instagram. And most importantly, as I speak to you here from just outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people in the state of Israel, regardless of what the ICC or anybody else says about it. Most importantly, be safe. Shalom, shalom. Have a great week. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Shalom.
Shalom. My name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. With global instability on the rise, more and more people are turning to God, realizing now they don't exactly know where to look for guidance. The Bible says the guidance will come from the land of Israel. What started as an online seminar has grown into a global fellowship with hundreds of members from over 30 countries. We are participating in fulfilling prophecy as we learn the Bible through the eyes of prophecy, with a focus on what it's telling about us in our lives today. What you will discover is that the wisdom transmitted thousands of years ago is speaking directly to us in our time right now. Instead of learning the Bible as a religion, it's the Torah of Israel, the living guidance of God. So please join us for our next online gathering and get access to the full library of teachings that the Land of Israel Fellowship is offering. Join now and get an audio series on the prophecy encoded in the book of Joshua, absolutely for free. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com. I don't know how you found this video or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence, and I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the Land of Israel. I hope to see you at the Land of Israel Fellowship. Shalom.